Hey, I'm really excited that today, at the end of the message, you're going to get to see some perspectives, a video of people who were participating in Backyard Missions telling their stories about what they experienced. And leading up to that, we're going to look at, as I said, in 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, open that. So let's take care of a little business now. If you got a Bible and can open to 1 Peter chapter 2, that's great. And take a moment right now to grab a piece of bread, something as close as you can to bread, something as close as you can to like wine or grape juice, something to eat, something to drink, that today as we share communion together as we can be virtually, something that for you can represent the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ spilled for you to make a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humanity. So just have something on hand because there will be a point in the teaching where we'll together remember what Christ did for us. If you're new to New Day, there will be something that comes up in the chat that says new to New Day. I'd really appreciate if you hit like on that so that we know that you are here. I have no other way of knowing if you're checking out the teachings here, and it gives us a chance to just make a quick connect with you and find out if there's anything else that we can do for you. So say like, that'd be a huge encouragement to me if you would do that. And it would also be an encouragement to me if you're a part of New Day Christian Church, or if you express your honor to God through giving an offering. We have a link that will come up in the chat that says give online, and you can just click there and make a monetary contribution. Gives the money to honor God and to help the mission of New Day Christian Church continue. It takes some organization to do that and resources. So thank you for being a part of that. So as we open to 1 Peter chapter 2 today, let's pray together. God, there is so much going on in the world today that it can be overwhelming. So many things being broken down. Our prayer, God, is that you would be our foundation, that as the storms of life come, that God, you would lead us in obedience to Christ, that becomes the foundation that keeps our house from falling down. Let us hear your words today, not just for our own knowledge and insight, but for obedience, so that you will be honored, so that your will be done in our hearts, in our homes, in our communities, on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Something that we have looked at before from 1 Peter is this passage about your living stones. This is verse 5, that God is building into his spiritual temple. Church is not a building. Church is not an event. Church is people gathered with purpose by God. What's more, you're his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You are his holy priest. You are sacrificing from your life, from your appetites, from your own desires and wishes. You're sacrificing those and saying, no, God's desires are going to become my desires. My appetites are no longer what's driving me. It's going to be his will that drives me. I'm making a living sacrifice of myself. And not only that, a priest is someone who represents God. So you are representing God. You are representing Jesus Christ in the world today. And that's what we're going to take a closer look at. How are we doing at that? As so many things have been broken down, and we're looking at rebuilding. Let's rebuild those things that are good. I just showed you my living room. I'm not going to build it in the same way that we just broke it down. I'm not going to rip up that carpet and then just put that same carpet back in. No, I'm going to think about what's a direction for things to go in my bathroom. I took out the tile and we had to make some decisions about what we were going to do there. I ripped up all the tile. And I took out a jetted tub. That's a fancy word for, you know, the tub that is like a, it's like your own private hot tub in your bathroom. And that was one of the things that we really liked about this place when we looked at it, when we were buying it. We thought, oh, that's going to be really nice. And we actually do use it. And my kids use it. You know, my son, he's sore after a run, put some bath salts in there and relaxes in the jetted tub. But for resale value, people aren't excited about having a big old tub that was installed in 1988, which to me only seems like 10 years ago, but that's how old I am. That's like 30 some years ago. Anyway, people aren't looking for that necessarily. That's not the most attractive thing. So for resale value, we took that out. And after I got done removing all the tiles, I thought, boy, I could really use a nice jetted tub right now. But I'd already ripped it out. But the point is, we take things out, we're breaking things down, but we want to build them up in a way that looks to the future. I'm not just looking for what can I enjoy today. I'm looking for what's going to add value to this house for the future. So as we break down what's happening in the church, we want to build up in a way that makes sense. And the best way that makes sense is to follow the pattern set by Jesus Christ. He sets a pattern for us. We represent him in the world today. And here's how Peter continues if we jump down to verse 11. He says, "Dear friends, I warn you." Okay, so this is a warning. "I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." Why would he call us temporary residents and foreigners? What he's saying here is that when you became a disciple of Jesus Christ, you became a citizen of heaven. It's not something for when you die. It's right now you are a citizen of heaven and you're living in a foreign land. That's what he's trying to say. So the customs that you operate in are going to look different from the world. The attitudes that you have are going to look different from the world around you because you are a citizen of heaven. So he's saying, as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Be careful to live properly. If we studied that out and studied out the words that are happening there, and this isn't something that only I can do because I'm some kind of scholar. You can go to blueletterbible.org. You can study these things out in more depth. I wanted to know, what does that mean properly? So I studied it out. And what it means is to live in a way that is beautiful to others. Live properly in a way that is beautiful among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. They will see your honorable behavior. How are we doing, brothers and sisters in Christ, at displaying honorable behavior? Now, at the time Peter was writing this, there were accusations being hurled against the church. The church was being persecuted. Some of the accusations were, oh, you Christians are disrupting commerce because a lot of commerce at that time was built around idol worship. And they were saying, well, we were not going to worship anyone but Jesus Christ and the God of heaven and earth. We're not going to worship idols. So they're disrupting commerce. Caesar wanted to be worshipped as an idol. So they're disrupting some of the political patterns of that time. So they're being accused of being disruptors. Some people accused Christians at that time of being immoral because they called their gatherings love feasts. And at that time, people would have thought about their pagan rituals and what people were doing in the pagan temples and would have assumed that Christians were doing that. And it was immorality. And I'm not going to get into details because there's kids here. So don't press me on this. I'm not saying anymore. There also were accusations that they were practicing cannibalism because it was known that they talked about the body and the blood, and in each of their gatherings, they would consume the body and the blood. So some people spread rumors that they were actually doing human sacrifices, but what we know is what I've already told you, that we're going to observe communion. We're going to remember Christ, but we're not going to do it by eating actual flesh and blood. We're going to do it by eating the things that are available to us, things that would have been common in households at that time. And we're going to use those common things in order to do something that is more powerful and more meaningful than those common things could ever be, because it ties us back to Christ, back to his first followers. It's a pattern that has been set through history, and it is going to continue from us until Christ returns. It announces his return. So it ties us into the fabric of spirituality, of Christianity that Christ set in motion. It's not about literally being flesh and blood. It's about the heritage, and it's about the future that it ties us into. So these accusations were going on. Are there any accusations going on against Christians today? Sure there are. There have been throughout history, and some of them are deserved, especially when Christianity marries itself to systems of power, because we know that power corrupts. So when Christianity combines itself with systems of power, then we do see Christianity become an instrument of oppression, an instrument of hatred, and some of the things that it has been accused of in the past has really been just people putting the label of Christianity on something that actually is a system of power. So Peter is saying, like, don't get caught up in those systems, and don't get caught up in the worldly systems. Don't get caught up in a defensive reaction against the accusations being made against you. Live honorably. Let your life be the evidence of what's going on in your heart. Let your life be the evidence of who Christ is. So he gives instructions about respecting people in authority. He gives instructions even to slaves, and basically says this isn't going to be a political uprising. This isn't going to be a civil uprising. You are going to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ right where you are. And those other things are going to be undone in time. What you need to focus on is what Jesus is doing in your life, the pattern that he is setting. For God called you, in verse 21, to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. That word example, I wanted to study that out too. Like, what does this mean, that he's your example and you must follow in his steps? That word example of the Greek there is hupagrammos. You say that, it's fun, hupagrammos. All right, good, nice. So hupagrammos, that is, it's literally like tracing. It'd be the kind of thing where when you're teaching somebody penmanship or how to write letters, that you'd have those letters written before them and you'd say, okay, just do that. That's your pattern. Follow that. Trace this. We're to look at Jesus and we're to trace him. He is to be our pattern. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. So when you become a follower of Jesus, that doesn't mean everything is going to go perfectly well for you. Why would we think that? When Jesus himself was perfect, was sinless, did good, did right, and still suffered. So Peter is saying, yes, you're going to suffer. And yes, people are going to make accusations against you. And what you're going to do is respond to it by living respectfully, honorably among your neighbors, right where God put you. So we're going to see this video in a moment. After we share communion, we're going to see the video of people who said, I'm going to do something to express love to my neighbors. I'm going to live honorably among my neighbors. And we need more of that. People, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a royal priesthood. You are representative of him. You're representative of him in your household, in your neighborhood, and online. And part of my concern right now at this point in history is people are spending so much time in social media. They're spending so much time letting other media pour into them. And as Peter says that we're to fear God and respect the king, that we're to respect everyone. This is verse 17 in chapter 2. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. We're surrounding ourselves with voices that are making clever nicknames for our politicians, and we're just buying into it and re-saying those things, not acting with respect. And I'm not talking about either particular side. I mean, there are nicknames being made and there are memes being made. There are pictures with captions that are made, set up to make people look foolish. Whether we're talking about Republicans or Democrats, that's the way the world works. And what Peter is suggesting to you is that is not the way a follower of Jesus is to work. Can you just let that sit and convict you for a moment? Respect everyone. Respect everyone. When we hear about numbers on the news about 140,000 people dying of COVID-19, when we hear about the numbers of people who are suffering under different injustices, different situations, the numbers of people, we've got to be a people who don't just think of the 140,000. We've got to be the people who imagine the one who is suffering among those 140,000 and imagine the dozens around them who are suffering because one they love is suffering, and have respect. Speak about people, not just as numbers, but with compassion and respect. How are we doing? God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. I want you to just take a moment and think about, reflect on who Jesus is, the pattern that he set. And if you set your life on top of him, like, remember tracing paper that you can kind of see through? If your life is written on tracing paper and then you put it on top of Christ, how well does your life fit into his pattern? Think about the ways that it spills off. Think about the ways that you have disrespected other people, that you have failed to show compassion. Think about the ways that you have followed your appetites, that you have fallen into drunkenness or overspending or a judgmental spirit. Take a moment to reflect on your sin. Confess it to God. Now take a moment to see past that tracing paper and to focus on the pattern of Jesus Christ. Here's what Peter wrote. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins. Now think about your sins. Take them off. He picks that up. He carries it. Now let him do that. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Do you hear that? So that we can be dead to sin. So that all of our past sins, they're gone. He died for our sins once for all time. Past, present, future. We can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once we were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Thank God that he has given us a shepherd and a guardian for our souls. We don't have to live in the world as people who are confused. We have a shepherd who calls out to us, who sets a pattern, who gives us instruction, who frees us from our past, who gives us a future. Thank God. As you have remembered your sin and reflected on your sin, as you have remembered what Jesus did, it would be an insult to him for you to continue with guilt in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? He allowed himself to die in your place. If you stay in the death of your sin, you're saying to him, I do not accept what you did. What you did was not enough. We need to remember the truth that what he did on the cross was enough. So we are going to remember that. On the night he was betrayed, he gave thanks, he broke bread, and he instructed his disciples. He said, eat this. This is my body. Remember me. And then he also took the cup and he said, this is a new covenant, a new agreement, a new relationship between God and humanity that's sealed in my blood. Drink this. We are to remember him and what he did until he comes again. Let's pray. God, as we remember the body of Christ broken for us, the blood of Christ spilled for us, I pray that we would live out the reality that we have died to sin. Sin no longer has power over us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that you have planned good works for us. Let us live out our freedom to do the good things you planned for us long ago. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have good things planned for us. We have a blood drive coming up. So in the comments, you can see that there'll be something that comes up and you can say, you can like that. Now, we're doing a blood drive because the blood center said blood is needed. And if you remember what Christ did for you, the way he suffered, maybe you have some anxiety about giving blood. I want to encourage you to try to push through that, to try to think about somebody's life, a person worthy of our respect and honor because they're created in the image of God. Somebody's life depends on blood donors. Can you go into this time of a donation, this blood drive, and remember what Christ did for you? We've had many, many people who have done that over the years, and it's a powerful act to do. Before that, that's on a Thursday. Before that, we're having 24 hours of prayer that's going to start at 9 a.m. on Saturday and go through 9 a.m. on Sunday. And what that means is we just want 24 hours of continuous prayer. So we're looking for people to sign up for one of those 24 hours. So again, you'll see in the chat something where you can hit like and say, yes, I want to be one of those people who takes one of those hours of prayer leading up to the week of the blood drive. And then if you want to be involved in some of the demolition going on at the Office of Ministry Center, you can say, yeah, I want to do that. Hit like and we'll get in touch with you. Now I'm just really excited to show you what people have been doing. Those are some things coming up. Let's take a look at what people have been doing. Let's hear testimonies and stories from backyard missions. I'm so excited to share this with you. This footage was taken outside, so the audio, you might need to turn the volume up a little bit because you want to hear these stories. They are living out what Peter says here. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God. People behaved honorably and God was given honor in our communities during Backyard Missions. Enjoy this video.